This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Listeners, this is Brent Sutton. Welcome to Season 5 and the 104th episode of the Practice of Learning Teams podcast show and our new regular segment called Hop into Action, putting the principles of human and organizational performance into practice. This show is all about the Hop and Learning Teams community looking to make sense of putting Hop, Learning Teams and the 4Ds into actions for organizations to learn and improve. Think of the series as a mini learning team. We have a theme for each episode and we allow it to evolve or devolve organically. Today we explore our first 2024 trip to North America, where we caught up with Rob and Ray Fisher, Todd Conklin, Gordon and the team at Energy Safety Canada, and the Hop Meister himself, Jeff Luff. So please sit back and enjoy this series of Hop into Action, sponsored by Safety Differently Merch, providers of curated merchandise befitting your Safety Differently journey. All right, welcome listeners to the first podcast of the new year. I'm here with Brent Robinson, and we have just returned from our first trip to North America. And I have to say that I came straight from my summer holidays onto a plane with Brent and straight into minus something weather.
And it was damn cold.
Damn cold indeed. So our tour this time was made up of really three parts. One was the opportunity to hang out with Rob and Ray Fisher at Fisher Improvement Technologies over in Concord, North Carolina. And Rob was holding his client event. And I think there was about 60-odd people that attended, which was great. So what were your thoughts, Brent, about our first lead-in?
I was really impressed. I didn't know what to expect, and it was really amazing of Rob and Ray to invite us to the event to start with. We got to spend a couple of hours with their consultants on the first day, talking about the 4Ds and running the little experiment that you've developed that let's us look at the 4Ds versus after action reviews. And I think there were some surprising outcomes there for them, but predictable from our point of view. So I thought that, you know, that was really cool. The other thing that was really amazing and sort of blew me away was the next couple of days we got to spend with them and their clients, and just the really open and honest conversations we got to have with them, and just some of the experiences they shared, which was, you know, on their Hop journey. You know, huge corporation, you know, 250,000 people working for some of these organizations, and you know how they're rolling it out across the globe and some of the technologies they're using and some of the problems they've had, and just the really open sharing and learning experience that they provided us. You know, and I it was a really super open platform. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you mentioned from a scale point of view, I think there were people there representing manufacturing, high energy, construction, and aerospace.
And airlines.
And airlines as well. And the smallest organization would have been about 2,500 to 3,000 people. And the largest was over 250,000 across 17 countries. And the other thing that I picked up was that the shortest duration of the Hop journey was about 18 months, and the longest was about 17 years.
Yeah.
And it always amuses me when we hear from other areas about the new view. And here we have 17 years.
And I think that was one of the takeaways, wasn't it? That, you know, Ray and Rob and the team there have been doing this for a long time, and had a lot of experience in it. And it's not just about talking about it, they're actually doing it. You know, they've got a model with their clients that they go through the deployment and then the sustainability of it. And that sort of was really humbling in a lot of respects that people are on that journey. But, you know, and all the other things that came out of it, where I think, and what I really appreciated with what they were talking about was the homage they paid to people like Deming, which sometimes I think in the, you know, with some of the practitioners out there and some of the people, some of the consultants out there, they don't pay that homage to the people that came before them, that it's not new. And it is a journey.
Yeah, and we're building on the great work of others. And I think, you know, what became very apparent to me is integration and sustainability across all operations was key. Everyone said the same thing, that they were not deploying HOP purely for safety. They were deploying HOP across all operations. And I think that was really fascinating from my perspective. And once again, it's amazing that Rob and Ray have taken their integration tool and how they've embedded the 4Ds to drive that engagement, both from a leadership perspective, but also from a frontline perspective. And I was blown away by the number of those large clients standing up and saying that things like the 4Ds helped them, you know, revitalize their programs. Because it was quite apparent, I think, you know, one of the organizations put up their maturity slide over their journey. I think it was about a 15-year journey.
Yep.
And they were on their third iteration of the critical risk program.
Yep.
Now that's true continuous improvement.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's the thing I really loved about it, was that for me, it was about continuous improvement. It was small incremental steps assessing, you know, PDCA. It was PDCA in its purest form, where they, you know, but instead of just the check, they were really just, you know, studying it and working out what was working and what wasn't. And what I loved about some of those organizations was that in some sites they had 2,000 people, and in smaller sites they had 75, and they had to work their way through how they were going to have, you know, develop the advocates in the small sites, because they took somebody out that couldn't be a full-time job. And some of the things they really thought about and doing that, and then being able to apply it across other sites and other languages and all those things that they were crossing off. But that fundamental, this is about continuous improvement. Might start with safety, but it ends up being right across the operational spectrum of the business, you know, all the way through into customer service and some of those other areas that traditional industrial safety doesn't cover off, you know, because, you know, we don't see the same risks, but now those risks are becoming more apparent, Brent, when we talk about, you know, psychosocial risks in some of those places. And that, you know, I found it really interesting to see how they were dealing with it. And, you know, and also comparing and contrasting the North American context versus the Canadian context versus the Australian New Zealand context for some of those things as well. There are, you know, we all speak the same language, but there are differences in how it rolls out.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I got to say, the North American market is far more mature in terms of its whole program element.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Australian markets or the New Zealand markets are more of an emergent market. And, you know, talking to Josh today, you know, people are saying that HOP is just popular culture. Well, our experience in North Carolina was totally different to that. HOP isn't popular culture. HOP is a set of principles that help us create programs that drive continuous improvement.
Yeah.
And safety is a byproduct of driving that operational excellence.
Yeah. Which I think some safety people might be a little freaked out about, but I think that's part of the maturity as you go on this journey, that you start to realize that you know, it spans the whole organization. And it's important to be inclusive.
And it was really good hearing some of those stories about how some of those original hot tools that date back to the Department of Energy handbook, how those have continued to evolve and change over time. And, you know, I remember looking at, they had a thing there called a deviation analysis, which was a quick way of looking at a near miss where you're looking, you're understanding about workers imagined and workers done. And you're understanding what were the core elements that sat below that deviation that, you know, wanted that worker to move away from normal. And, you know, once again, going back to those classic, you know, error traps, context-drive behaviors. How did the system not support those workers to be successful? What pushed that deviation to happen? And it's interesting because they didn't see deviation as a bad word. Like, we probably used the word adapting, okay? Yeah. But they weren't using the language error or mistake. For them, deviation means that the actions were different to what were expected.
Yep.
And they're not saying it's bad. They're saying it's just deviated from what they believe.
Yep.
So the appreciation of inquiry is to understand the system element.
I think that's where people really like the idea of the four Ds and being able to use that as a way of understanding that and enhancing that whole process. And that was humbling, you know, that the some of the stuff we've been doing is being used by people that we don't even understand sometimes being done. And that, I think that's really cool and says something about the way that you can embed it in your organization quite simply and quite quickly. I think Josh can talk to that, can't he? You know,
absolutely. He's been on I'd love to name drop, but we really can't. But some of these companies are super, super well-known brands all around the world.
Yep.
And I remember...
They show name anonymous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And do you remember that senior VP of that construction company?
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, the front line and all the issues with construction, which mirror the issues we're having down here about contractor relationships, multiple levels, the capability or capacity of the smaller contractors to perform how the bigger contractors want. And I remember him saying that the 4D just stuck with the front line. It was the first time that something stuck with the front line.
Yeah, I found his conversation really interesting because he goes, you know, when we put some of these other programs and they see the safety team and it goes, oh, here comes the safety police. And I thought that was pretty funny. But, you know, when they use this, they go, oh, this makes sense, you know, and letting it flow back up into the business. I think the other thing that really stuck out, and I think, you know, we see that, you know, with similar issues down here, is that frozen middle we talk about, you know, that we've got to do more work to help those men and women in those supervisory and management roles understand what's coming. Because, you know, we've got the leadership excited about, you know, trying some new stuff with HOP and looking at how that's going to improve the organization. And then you got the frontline workers who might be using something like the 4Ds and, you know, they sort of get it. And then you got the middle, which is, you know, apprehensive of what the senior management want. And they're getting a whole bunch of stuff from the front line that they go, I've got to fix it. They don't, you know, we've got to, and I think that's really important. But I loved that. Well, I didn't love it, but I was pleased that, you know, we had a really deep conversation with several of those companies about that and how, you know, they'd suffered and dealt with and worked through some of those issues that they had to.
Yeah.
And helped their program sustain.
But without blaming middle management.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because we talk about don't blame workers. And I sometimes ask the question, do we actually end up then blaming management and blaming leadership?
I think we do, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's where these programs can, or these initiatives, I don't want to call them programs, but these initiatives can fall apart. You know, we've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it in the lean space a couple of times, but, you know, I think the the opportunity for that to happen within this, it starts with safety space, is really interesting. I think I was surprised by just the breadth of industries that were on their journey. I think, yeah, as you said before, across all those different segments. And that was really interesting.
Yeah, and I don't think that zero harm came up at any point in our conversations. I think it's just that maturity. So I think there are a couple other things that were talked about. They talk about the importance of pop fluency across all parts of the business. I thought that was really important.
Yep.
Because different parts of the business will see hop differently. That's the whole objective. You know, yep. Leadership needs to see it a particular way, workers need to see it a particular way. And the other thing that was quite interesting is they talk about hop advocacy. That
yes.
you've got to create that advocacy across the different levels of the business. So that was really interesting from the creating that sustainability element around that. And we were talking, I mean, some of the data they're giving us, they were having hundreds of advocates around hop.
Yeah. But they even had different levels of advocate as well. So you had the super advocate and then the advocate that was more associated with the front line or the middle layer within the organization. But what I loved about it was that, you know, they weren't doing simple workshops. They were educating, not training, and then really a coaching and mentoring model, which was really interesting to me.
Yeah. And, you know, and I thought what was great is that you just had this group of clients who were there to, well, but effectively we ran a whole lot of learning teams. They just come along to share.
Yeah.
And no one was saying there's the right way or a wrong way. No one was saying there is a one way. They're basically saying everyone's journey is going to be different. And what drives is different. And what drives leadership is different. So all those things were quite good. So that was really the first part of our trip. And look, it was great. It was great to connect with people. Obviously, we should share with our listeners that we're waiting for a lawsuit from Queen for causing distress to Freddie Mercury about
bludgeoning their song. I think the other thing we learned, Brent, and you know, we can reflect on this, is that you and I are never going to be singers and we shouldn't be let anywhere near any type of karaoke equipment ever.
Definitely. I think, definitely going to hang up the heels and, there can be no more cabaret for me.
And I think the only other thing I learned was that don't let, you know, it should never be videoed. And we'd like to reach out to, we'd like to thank, I think, Justin, for deleting any evidence off the cameras. So that was good.
That's right. That's right. But it was great. It was a really good time. And basically, we shared lots of great stories. We met some new friends, which was even better. And we had some great barbecue.
Yeah, we did. It was a really good barbecue.
Well, yeah, those burns.
North Carolina barbecue is right up there.
Yeah.
You know, sauces aren't quite as sweet as Kansas City, you know. Certainly you and I can tell the difference now, you know, so it says we might be eating too much barbecue.
That's right. So was it the pit house we went to in the end?
Yeah, pit house.
Oh, sorry, no, smoke pit.
No, smoke pit.
So big shout out to Smoke Pit in Concord, North Carolina.
Concord, yeah.
Yep. Big shout out to those guys. Fantastic. Great find. And then I basically caught up with Todd on that weekend. And
you had a great weekend.
Yeah, the first of those podcasts dropped with Todd. So that's available on his podcast channel. And also a big shout out to the local sheriff who gave me some education on I-25 between Albuquerque and Santa Fe.
Yep.
So once again, in the true spirit of hop, error is normal, particularly when you're driving on the wrong side of the road.
Yep. And I like that he didn't shoot you, so that's good.
No, yeah, absolutely. I kept my hands visible at all times, and I thank them for sharing the cultural awareness about the right-hand lane and merging in traffic. So I was greatly appreciative.
And then I think,
And before this pod drops, we'll be catching up with Todd at the Gong at Wollongong, which would be great. Yep. But it was nice to see him. And he's still got all the same electric bikes. He hasn't lost any more bikes lately. So that was great.
I think I had to do some very hard work in the Napa Valley with some construction clients. You know, some people have to do that from time to time. And, you know, we did some nice wineries. And then you went to a crazy place. It was even colder where you went.
Yeah, I went to Calgary. So whilst you were running learning teams over wine tasting,
yes.
I was busy hanging out with Energy Safety Canada, with Gordon. Big shout out to Gordon and all the great work that he's doing. And big shout out to our hosts at Imperial Oil in Calgary, who hosted us in their stunning learning campus.
And yeah, said that was amazing. It just worked the whole thing, right?
Walking in, and there's a Le Mans hybrid car in the foyer.
I like that it's a hybrid car at an oil company, so it's cool.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they're all good. And basically, we had a group of 45 for the day with Jeff and I, and we had a great selection of people across the oil and gas industry, and we had a great time. And there was also a couple of representatives from electrical regulators as well that were present. Yep. And they were super excited about the 4Ds. And obviously, people listened to Todd's podcast, but it was really interesting the exercise that we ran around the difference between safety observations after action reviews and the 4Ds,
yeah,
about showing that context of work and about that link to psychosocial risk, which we're super pleased about, and so pleased, in fact, that Diane will be running a half-day workshop in Vancouver on the 21st of February, because that proved to be so popular. So it's great that she is able to host that workshop with Jeff. Well, she's up that way. So yeah, we're really pleased.
Disappointed I didn't get to catch up with our Canadian brother.
Yeah, well, we'll be seeing him in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, we'll see him in the Gong, which will be really cool. Really looking forward to that. I think it's exciting that we get to run that same experiment in Wollongong that we've been doing in different parts of the globe, which I think we can talk about more.
Correct, which will have a bit more of a local and international flavour to it. And then we caught up with Jeff in Vancouver and ran a good little workshop with the Vancouver people. And then before heading back home, we caught up with the amazing Bobby Calder and all the work that he's doing in HOP and his podcast show. So I think overall, it was a great event.
And thanks for Bobby for dropping us back out of LAX and getting us on our plane.
Absolutely. It was a big help. And I think overall, the learning element of what we did really set us up for 2024.
That, yeah, no, it did.
You know, we've launched our new series of Hop into Action. And I think Hop into Action is really important because it's about putting those human and organizational principles into practice.
Yep.
So we're basically, let's stop talking and let's start doing.
The other thing I just wanted to quickly shout out, and we didn't mention it at the start, was one of the other surprising things I was, really pleased to see is the union interaction in the North American market with organizations on the HOP journey, and using the 4Ds as a way of augmenting that even further. I thought that was really interesting. And I think, you know, you had another experience in Vancouver as well, but I think that goes to maturity as well, instead of this combative view. And one of the airline people was talking about it as well, that it, you know, it's helped bridge some differences when it comes to this in safety, also the construction guys. So I thought that was brilliant.
I think it's a reflection of the difference between doing safety to people, doing safety yes. for people, and doing safety with people.
People, yeah, totally agree. I think we need that T-shirt.
We need to definitely print that T-shirt. So I think that was really, really strong. And I'm just trying to think, we need to shout out to Doug and a shout out to Joe as well.
Yep.
They were great. And I'm just trying to remember all the different people that we sort of connected with. I know we're going to miss someone in that space.
Yeah. And we will. But I think, over the next couple of months, we've got some of these people coming on the podcast, which is going to be super exciting.
Yeah.
And they can talk about their journey and give a different perspective from a range of different industries. So I'm really super pleased for that. I was really amazed at some of the technology I was seeing. So, some really interesting tech around removing errors and error traps, from documents and some of the technology they're using there. Yep. And some of the really cool translation technology that we were talking to people about as well, so they can get the same story across multiple parts of the globe in the same organization. So that, they've got a consistency across their what they're delivering, which I thought was, such a difficult thing to do, but using some really interesting tools to do it.
Yeah. And look, once again, my reflection was that how quickly and readily the 4Ds has been taken up in a mature market.
Yeah.
Compared to the emerging markets, where there's lots of, what's it going to do? How's it going to do it? And I just find it really interesting that those people in that mature market got it and just run with it.
Yeah.
Where we see down our end of the world, organizations really struggling to know how to listen, we've got those North American clients saying we need to be able to listen to more.
And I think that's one of the takeaways from the last 2 weeks. So it was a cool 2 weeks, I thought.
Yeah, it was. And now we're back into normal, as they say.
Yep.
And our next Catnip Med Runner will be at Wollongong in February. And
looking forward to that.
Then we'll be up at Banff with Energy Safety Canada in late April, early May. So good things to come. And, of course, we'll keep all the listeners informed. And there's some great, great, great new podcasts coming up this year. So everyone stay tuned, stay listened. There's some great learnings to come out this year.